This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Yeah, but like, you have to
have All right, Mr. Best Case Scenario.
I told you there's a best case scenario in all of us, man. In all of us. Even you, Mr. Boosh.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI Court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team. KYT.
Sorry, Jay just agreed with Medina. My head exploded.
Jay Boosh.
Is this what it's like to be a brewer? Because that was exciting.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. I take it all back.
Scotty.
I would really like you to, like, come clean. You just mulligan to land, elf sword every single game.
And Medina.
So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's training to be done.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 110 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT, as always, with Mr. Scotty Mack, Jonathan Medina, and Jay Boosh.
What up?
What's going on?
Psych.
I got in there before Boosh this time. Woo!
Good. Merry Christmas, fuckers.
That's right.
Merry Christmas, fuckers.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Do Asian people celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Man, I just didn't know if it was like a worldwide holiday or...
Well, actually, is it worldwide or is it just you Twinkies that do it?
I don't know. I know Mexicans celebrate it.
Yeah. No, it's I guess we should also not exclude all of the rest of our, you know, non-denominational.
No. Don't
whatever. Even. Whatever. This is not the fucking.
Yeah, this isn't tough, bro.
Whoever doesn't celebrate Christmas holidays and is offended by me saying Merry Christmas, put it in the comments so I can fucking block you. Fucking idiot. Holy shit. Fuck off. I don't even want to do an episode now. You guys have soured it. Oh, everything's got to be about everyone.
I didn't get shit for Christmas.
Oh, you can't say his or her because his is first, and that's... Shut the fuck up. Fucking whiners.
Oh, so you didn't get anything for Christmas, huh, Kimothy?
No, I mean, you get to a certain point where... You know, once you have a job, most things that you want are things you've already bought in over the year, and it's like you get clothes basically. So
yeah, where you're like, I want something really expensive, and then like no one's gonna buy you that.
Yeah,
this
that's
is true.
A type dream.
Like my mom is not gonna buy me. Like, maybe when I was a kid, they'd buy me, you know, an Xbox or a Wii or whatever. Now it's just like, here, have a candy bar. It's like, what?
you live with your mom still, so I mean, you know, there is that.
There's that.
I mean, definitely. I live in my own house and stuff, you know, like a grown up, but
I'm Asian.
Oh, man.
Yeah. KYT is not going to move out until he has a practice.
You were going to say until he has a liquor store, weren't you?
No, in Canada, Asians don't have those.
They don't have convenience stores?
Yeah, they have convenience stores. No.
Yeah, they do, but their parents own them. And then KYT is a first generation, so he doesn't work there.
So KYT, what does he do? He doesn't say, hurry up and buy?
No, he goes to school, and he becomes a doctor.
Oh.
And then that's what he does.
Okay. All right. Now I understand the dynamics of the Asian nuclear family. Yeah. Hey, I got a scarf and what do you guys call those tunics?
Tunics.
Like a hat?
Tukes. A toque, you idiot?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a scarf and a
I got a tunic. I got a tunic for when I cosplay.
I don't know what a tunic is. I have no idea. But
what do you call it?
So this is the scumbag story for the podcast.
Yeah.
My wife tells me, don't buy me anything for Christmas, right? I went a little crazy last year. You know, I bought her a bunch of stuff. So this year she's like, don't buy me anything. You know, I want to just kind of like tone it down. We'll just have like a little tree and like just kind of chill Christmas, you know? And I said, okay. So I'm like, all right, sweet. I'm off the hook. No, don't have to buy her anything. So then, like she started working on, she says she's working on a project for me, right? And I'm like, okay. So she's like, I'm working on this project for you, but don't worry, it's nothing. And I'm like, okay. So I'm still thinking in my head, oh, I should probably just not buy her anything because, like, she's working on this project, but it's nothing, right? So anyways, like, Christmas Eve rolls around, and she's like, all right, I'm ready to give you your gifts. You know, I'm like, my gifts? Like, what the hell? Like, I thought we weren't going to get each other anything. And she's like, no, I made you this stuff. I've been working on it for weeks. I was like, oh, crap. Like, don't buy me anything doesn't mean don't get me anything. It means, like, do something creative or something awesome, right?
So, don't just throw money and solve my problem.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, crap. Like, well, I pretty much failed this test because, I don't know, man, I just wasn't thinking about it. So she made me this scarf and this, I'm going to say tunic again. Doc, this toque. So scarf, and she made me this toque, and they're really nice. They're warm. First time I ever wore a scarf. I'm feeling like Brian Kibler. But I'm kind of a scumbag because I didn't get her anything, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I think I have to make up for her. She's totally cool with it, but I don't know, man. I think that deep down inside,
she's not
cool with it, man. So I have to do something crazy, you know? I don't know what it is.
So you scumbagged your wife at Christmas.
I scumbagged my wife at Christmas. Yeah, I could just hear all the listeners going, oh, like, you're such a scumbag. Didn't get your wife anything for Christmas. But, you know, let's look at this for a minute, okay? I get my wife whatever she wants throughout the year, without question, okay? So I don't think we have to, like, because it didn't happen on Christmas, we don't have to, you know, I don't know, man. I think we're just splitting hairs here. What do you guys think?
No, I think you blew it. And I think you're an idiot. Everybody knows the don't get me anything is... don't buy me anything is not the same as don't get me anything. And everybody knows that even if your wife said, don't get me anything, she doesn't mean don't get me anything. No one means don't get me anything.
I don't know, man.
You don't know, man. That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, no, see, because, Jay, I'm on board with you. Because you know what? I say that all the time. What do you want for Christmas? Oh, nothing. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. And that's my answer is, I don't need anything. Now, yeah. What that means is...
buying something awesome.
Is
whoa you,
what like this, a remote control helicopter.
What this actually means is you should know me well enough to know what I want.
Yeah.
And Scott, like what Scott, I want that I'm not gonna get myself.
Communicate like that, Scott.
Well, no, hey. No, hold on. Here's the thing though. I don't actually hold it against it. That's the difference. So it is still very male. It was a social experiment that lasted for 2 years that basically has led me to completely understand that Christmas 100%, yes, it's no longer about the man child. It is 100% about the actual child, right? Because somebody asked me, like, what do you want for Christmas?
Yeah, now it's about the man cub.
Well, yeah, it's true. It's like, well, what do you want for Christmas? Well, I want a $2,000 laptop like my guys have, but yeah. when am I going to have any time to fucking use it? Like, that's not going to happen. Right?
Right?
I'm there. Yeah,
it depends on your household, right?
I said to my wife, I'm like, you know what the best thing you can get me for Christmas would be? A fucking make a cardboard book of coupons and give me like 15 of them, and they'd say like, free day off to go to Magic Tournament.
Yeah.
Like, fucking...
whoa, man, that'd be a sick present.
Right?
And one says like, in like the butt.
Like a GP, yeah, and one says in the butt. Now, GP's like three, so that's like three tickets out of there, you know? But, like, that would be absurd. That'd be so good.
He's like, I'm running low on blowjob tickets. How can I turn this free Magic Day into a blowjob ticket?
Yeah.
Man, not only did we lose a bunch of, like, Jewish and Ramadan fans at the beginning of the episode, now... I'm sure that we've just alienated every single person that listens to us. I was going to say woman, but then, like, oh, that's sexist, assuming women. Some women like giving blowjobs, and so you can't accept. And then some men are uncomfortable with that, so you can't assume it's just women.
Whoa.
So,
some men are uncomfortable getting blowjobs. I mean, come on, man.
No, yeah. I mean, what some people are don't like talking about that. I guarantee you we'll have a guy in the comments that's like, ugh. Ugh, I don't know why I even bother listening to the A-Team. Every time I listen to you, it's just gross filth. Port of Notions is so much better than you.
Oh, ugh. Gosh. So, anyways. So, Scott, I don't tell, like, when I say don't get me anything, I mean don't get me anything. Like, I tell my wife, don't get me anything. I don't want anything. There's nothing I want. I don't even want a $2,000 laptop. I don't care. Like, I don't. No, I absolutely want nothing. Zero. Nothing.
False. You want fucking, you want episode one of The Walking Dead put in comic book form.
See? How crazy, right? There you go.
Yeah.
No.
How insane? How insane would that
be? Nice to have. That's a nice to have. I don't really want that.
False.
If I wanted that, I'd pull the trigger on it today, like this.
No. You gotta, that's like $4,000. You gotta mull it over a bit, and then, but if your wife surprised you, they're like, honey, I know you really wanted it, and I love you, and I just surprised. I don't know, man. You'd be like, bitch, I didn't even want this.
Book, I'd be like, did you take $4,000 out of our bank account to buy me a comic book?
You idiot!
What? No.
Tortillas.
Oh, man. So anyways, yeah, that's a scumbag story. I feel really bad about it. I think I need to make it up to her. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do that. And I just feel like I'm going to get a bunch of crap from the listeners for this. And I just don't want to hear it, guys.
I just don't want to hear it, guys.
Go ahead and leave it. Leave it in the comments.
Your wife's going to comment less Medina.
I'll be like, less presents equal less Medina.
Unbelievable.
Man, that coupon idea is really sweet.
Dude, I'm telling you, you can give out some amazing gifts.
You're like, Asian. How do
even
you know
if, even if you're gonna do it for even if you're gonna do it for the lady, you can be like back massages and foot rubs and like you can do like
my wife all gets all that shit for free, man. She doesn't need a coupon book for that.
Well, but sometimes it's not that she needs a coupon book for that, you idiot. Sometimes she's like,
you idiot.
Come on. John, could you give me a foot rub? And her feet are just nasty and shit. And then you're like, hey, babe, I had a hard ass motherfucking day.
I never do that, man.
Foot rub right now. Can I give it to you later? I'll just give it to you later. I had a hard fucking day, all right? And then she's like, oh, my back hurts. And then you're like, listen. Okay.
And then she's like, I got this coupon, bro.
And then she's
there you go.
Coupons you. And you can't say no to that shit.
I knew about the coupon book. This is something we used to give our moms like a long time ago. Like clean my room coupon was in there, you know?
Oh fuck, what a shitty kid.
What? You never gave this to your mom?
No, man. You know what happened if I didn't clean my room? My mom hit me in the face.
That's right, I'm there with you.
Clean room. No, I'm taking your shit. So you don't have to clean it up now. I threw it out. Ah.
Threw it out.
Yeah. Shit. Where's my tunics?
Oh man. So yeah. So it was a low key Christmas.
That's good.
Especially for my wife. Oh man, I hope she's not listening in the next room. I'm gonna get so much crap.
It was a low key Christmas, especially for my wife. Oh my. Jonathan Medina, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we had like a million Christmases, I think. We had Christmas Eve at my mom's with my brother and stuff and Alex and Lily and everyone, and that was cool. And so we played like some Pack Wars, and I ended up buying my brother so most of you that are around my age will know that the thing to do when you went to the bar in your 20s, if you weren't picking up chicks, was you go out to the bar with the guys, you buy like 3 pitchers of beer, and you each dump like $12 into this fucking terribly addictive machine, which caused more, you know, injuries than keyboards did with carpal tunnel. And we're talking about Golden Tee here, of course. So
I don't even know what that is.
Golden Tee is like, so it's a golf game. Okay, and it's got like a bunch of different courses on it, and basically the entire interface is like 2 buttons and a big fucking trackball in the middle of the machine. And so the idea is that your backswing is you roll down on the ball, which is your backswing, and then you power through the ball as your forswing, right?
This sounds complicated.
It's so complicated. It's like back, forward. But the problem is that people would like back up and they get like these running starts. And it's so funny to see the drunk idiots and they're fucking like going in. They're like, oh, Hercules. And they like slam the ball as hard as they can, except they actually miss. And they like jam the heel of their hand into the side of the machine and like fucking fracture their hands and shit. It's so funny. Anyways, so those of you that are out there that are my age should know about this if you were in the bars at that time. So they've come out with, you know, Jack's Pacific, J-A-K-K-S Pacific, wonderful company, taking all of our old fucking electronic childhood memories and condensing them into these tiny portable little, you know, fun for our kids and take it absolutely anywhere boxes. So they've taken Golden Tee and they've literally made it like the big ball with a couple, you know, couple buttons on it. And they've turned it into this small box that actually can rest on your knee. Right? And you can just fucking, like, jam Golden Tee. And it plugs directly into your TV with, like, a video and an audio. So we played, like, a shit ton of Golden Tee, like, over the last few days. We had everyone in town on... We had our Christmas here on Christmas Day with Alex and everyone else. I drove him to his mom's and came home and then got ready. And we did a whole Christmas again fucking yesterday with all of Elena's side of the family. And everyone was here for that. And they all stayed over. And then we had guests over today and did Christmas again. I'm like, holy fuck, guys,
holy
Christmas.
Shit.
It's like, it's insane. I'm like, finally ready to just stop doing Christmas, please.
And then you got Medina's wife who didn't get anything.
I know. I like had Christmas for you.
Yeah, I'll let her know.
You should.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet.
But yeah, it was insane. It was absolutely insane. But we had a good time. So that was my Christmas. I got a cast iron frying pan. I'm pretty excited.
Sweet.
Yeah, those things are insane.
And when you step out of line, you can get quanged.
Yep. So I'm pretty pleased. I had a really good little holiday for sure.
I did as well.
Good. And Jay, how was yours? How did Megan like all of her like most amazing crayon art?
She loved them. She thought they were so beautiful that she cried.
Really? Mission accomplished.
You made your wife cry on Christmas? Oh,
no.
Man, at least I didn't do that.
She's crying inside. She's like, excuse me, I just have to go get some tea. And then you know she cried. You know she did. I need to go stir the salsa.
Oh, man.
Blowout.
Hey, I'm trying to make a confession here, guys. You're making me feel like crap.
This is not church. This, you don't get to just say whatever you want here and you're absolved. It doesn't work that way.
So anyways, what about magic?
What about it? Yeah, let's talk
play
about
magic.
That.
I'm just kidding.
It sucked. I didn't get any magic stuff for Christmas, and I didn't play any magic since the last time.
Really?
Trash.
That is trash, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty crappy. I forced myself to play in a local modern tournament just so I could have show content.
And?
And, well, I don't have a lot of content, man. I don't. I played against
content.
I know. This is KYT's new logo. It's his new mantra.
Yeah, new mantra.
So,
nobody reads shit.
Nobody does. And if you do read, it's a waste of time. It's just shitty garbage.
Actually, people read Nina's articles, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She spams the fuck out of that shit, too, though.
Good.
Like,
good.
It might be one of those things where people are just reading it because, like, they're like, all right already.
Yeah, I don't care why.
But it's good. No, it's generating hits. It's fine.
Yeah, hits.
Also, tell me what this fucking Glitter Patrol article that Heather Dawn is doing now is all about. Because I tried to read the first one, and holy fuck, I almost blew my own brains out. It was like, nip! And then you guys trolled us by being like, oh, sorry, I can't do 20 tweets anymore. Ba-bam! I'm doing Glitter Shock instead. Or whatever.
Glitter Shock.
So, the
new thing she's working on is called Chatter.
Simplify it. Don't talk about it for 10 minutes. Tell me what it is in 30 seconds.
Oh, man. I can't do that.
Well, then it's not worth reading.
It's basically like a link dump, dude.
It's your link dump site that you wanted.
Yeah, you know what a link dump site has? A lot of links and not a lot of words. And those articles, they got a lot of fucking words on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically just a bunch of links to things that are cool.
No, and then what? Like just write-ups about it? Like a whole magazine article?
Well, you know, it's hard to please people. Because here's the thing.
Here's half the article first.
We first put the links, right? Wow. And then people were like, why don't you talk about why the links are there? Oh, links? I don't know. I don't understand why you put a link there.
You just click on it. You click on it.
That's what I said. But these people, they need more explanation. So, anyways, first one was a little bit busy. She really like did a lot of like glitter, as you would say.
Yeah.
And I let it slide. I let it slide because I usually cut that stuff out.
Terrible.
I usually cut it out, but I said, you know what? We'll see. She's got a following. Let's see how people accept this new like glittery look. And so I let it through. See what happened. It was not well received. So, I mean, I think the concept of the article was received well, but that actual, like, implementation was not as well received as we would have liked. So she's been working on it. She put a second one out. I think it's a little bit better. And, you know, it's just kind of like a link dump, but with some information.
So not like a limp dunk at all. That's what you're saying.
It's not just links, Jay. It's
so
links.
It's not like a link dump at all, then.
But it is.
That's what you're gathering. Saying, right?
No, what I'm saying is it's like a link dump in the sense that it's a gathering of information that you should be interested in.
So it's like an encyclopedia.
No, because it's not exhaustive. You know, it's just this, hey, look at this cool stuff. That's
like a Cole's notes. It's like a Cole's notes.
I don't even know what that is, but yeah, it's exactly like that.
That's pretty sweet.
So it's just a check this out. This stuff is cool. Check it out.
But you don't have to check it out because you told me all about it in your article. You don't have to check it out.
Yeah, but you could if you want to further check it out.
Further my shit. I see.
Yeah. So that's what she's working on. She doesn't have time for 20 tweets because 20 tweets is like a weekly thing, and she has to be in there all the time, like looking at tweets, following all the Twitters, and that's time consuming. So instead, she like just gathers these cool things that she finds interesting and thinks that you'll find interesting, now puts in this new article that comes out every 2 weeks called Chatter. And then we have Sam Davis doing the 20 tweets.
Sweet.
Which I think he's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to replace Heather in that role, but, you know, doing a good job. So anyways, I went to this Modern tournament. Man, trying to get back to the Modern.
Did you even start that story?
Yeah, I started, but you like interrupted me with the
glitter. I don't think that happened. Okay.
I don't think that happened.
I don't think it did. I mean, if it did,
he just don't denies it. Yep, didn't do that.
Yeah.
So I played in a Modern tournament to get some content for the show because I didn't play at all during Christmas. And so this guy, his name is Jack Grannon. You guys might know him from Twitter or from The Bridge or whatever.
Yep.
He's my first round opponent. And before the tournament, I heard him borrowing a Liliana of the Veil, right?
Oh, scouting.
So I'm like, oh man, Liliana of the Veil. Maybe he's playing Jund, you know? But Jack is not the kind of guy to play like a regular deck. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm just like,
The more dirtily, the better.
Exactly. I'm like, it's got to be dirtily, but what's dirtily with like Liliana? I don't know, man. So he plays a first turn Verdant Catacomb. And I'm like, ooh, maybe he is playing Jund. Maybe he just came and just ran the sick Jund deck. Who knows? And so I'm like, yeah, I'll play land, mana door, go. So he cracks his fetch for a swamp and then plays Fetid Heath. And then he
tell the people what that is.
Fetid Heath is the filter land that can tap to make double white, double black, but you have to pay like a black or a white into it.
Yeah, or one of each.
Or one of each. And then he smallpox me on turn two. I'm like, oh crap. Like, all right, there goes my mana dork, there goes my land, and I have to discard something. So I'm like, oh man, this is pretty crazy. So anyways, long story short, he's playing a Hacken Nameless Inversion deck.
So Hacken is black black one for a 3/3 or something like that.
Yep, 3/3 zombie knight.
Yeah, who cannot be cast except from your graveyard.
Yep, you can only cast them from your graveyard.
And you may cast knight cards from your graveyard as if they were in your hand.
Yep, you may cast knight cards. Well, Nameless Inversion is a knight card. Because it's a...
Changeling card.
Changeling card. And so is Crypt Swap.
Yeah.
So he's running like this grindy, dirtily, Life from the Loam, Hacken, Raven's Crime, Crypt Swap, Nameless Inversion deck.
So nice.
I'm just like, how can he beat me? You know, I just play a Kitchen Finks and destroy him. So I'm playing this Kitchen Finks. I'm like swinging in. I get him down to 3 life. He finally mills. He's at 3 life. I have like a massive board. He finally mills a Nameless Inversion. And then he one side Wrath of Gods me because he has like 10 mana out. So he's just like, Nameless Inversion this dude. Nameless Inversion this dude. Nameless Inversion this dude. Nameless Inversion that dude. And he basically wipes my board. And I can't stick another dude for the rest of the game. He wins at 2 life because he cracks a fetch. So I'm just like, holy smokes. So anyways, make a long story short, I brought in Chalice of the Void and put it on 2. And then I won the next couple games.
Sweet deck, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, get Liliana out. And I just chaliced him for 2. And then he's like, okay, play this Life from the Loam. It gets countered. Mill it.
Oh, God.
So, just trying to mill Hacken to get him on the board. But yeah, so I beat that deck. And then I played a Shared Fate deck. Are you guys aware of what this does?
No.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about. And what I think is cool right now is, like, in order for Modern to actually be, like, a format, people have to be able to play these kind of decks that we're talking about, the Hacken deck, the Shared Fate. And I started to see it at the local tournament is, like, all these people are just playing Bruise pretty much. So this guy, Shared Fate, is an enchantment. It's 5 mana, I believe. You guys just look that up on Gather or whatever. It's about 5 mana. And basically what it says is if someone would draw a card, instead you exile the top card of your opponent's library, and you can play it as if it was in your hand.
Wow.
So, like, his deck does nothing but basically play Shared Fate. And I guess he has, like, manlands or something. So basically the idea is to lock you out of the game with Shared Fate. Because when you're playing his deck, all you're having is draw spells and crap. That's just drawing into more draw spells. And then he's playing your deck, so he plays creatures and crap. You know what I'm saying? But, like, this guy, I don't know, his Shared Fate wasn't, his deck was not, like, really made for Shared Fate as you would think it would be. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see any, like, Idyllic Tutors. I didn't see any, like, Chromatic Lantern. You would want things that you can make, like, mana that are not in your colors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can cast, like, your opponent's stuff. He had, like, City of Brasses, but that's, like, the worst way to fix your mana, you know?
Yeah, like, ever.
So, basically, he played Shared Fate on me both games, but I had already had, like, a Gavinny Township and, like, Birds or something out, and I just beat him down with a Gavinny Township and a Birds.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's just, like, that deck didn't really work. And then I played against a Gifts Ungiven deck.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy had like 6 mana open and a grip full of cards. And I was just like, well, I'm just going to go for my combo. Because I have a Deceiver Exarch in my hand. So I'm guessing that what he's going to try to do, because I have Birthing Pod, so I can just pod into the combo. The only way he can stop me is to use a removal spell, right? But if you use the removal spell, I can just use the Deceiver Exarch to untap in response and then go off in response.
Okay.
So basically, I was just like, all right, I'm going to go off. So I start going off, and I'm just expecting a removal spell. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a copy. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to kiki jiki. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, I'm going to make another copy. Okay. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do that like a bunch of times. And he goes, okay. And I'm like, all right, then I'm going to attack you. All right, you got it. And I'm just like, dude, what do you have in your hand? Holy smokes. You have like 6 untapped mana and like 7 cards in your hand and you just didn't have anything? Holy smokes. So, So yeah, I got there on that, and then second game, I just beat him down. I didn't even go for the combo. I just played a bunch of Kitchen Finks and Restoration Angels.
Just a question, because I don't play any modern, right? So just a question. So you like, it seems to me like I hate modern, but every time that people talk about modern, like there's always like just like 12 decks that seem to be talked about and stuff, not just like four or whatever like in standard, right?
Yeah.
So like, and then you were saying earlier, like for modern to work or be healthy or whatever, it needs to be able to like people need to be able to play decks like that, right?
Yeah.
So, which is cool. So then, but then like, it just seems like all these decks are shit. you always roll them over, and everyone sucks, and these decks sound like trash. So then it sounds exactly like standard FNM, where you have like guys that are like brewing trash. And then what you have real decks. Is that how it works? Is it
so? The thing about modern is if you do not understand how the good decks in the format operate, you are at a significant disadvantage, like you would be if you did the same thing in Legacy. Okay, because there are a lot more complex interactions and some random shit that happens, like. Random jank can happen with hacking decks, right? So, like, if you never knew, like, if you saw a black-white deck and somebody played Crib Swap and Nameless Inversion, you should know your hacking's in there. Like, that's a thing, right? But again, it just comes from, like, knowing a lot of the card pools and knowing a bunch of the decks that were good in that time, and if you don't have that knowledge, you're gonna get fucking owned by anybody who does.
Yeah, so what he's saying is, basically, you need to know the interactions in modern, and then you can brew whatever deck you want to brew and still win with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you don't know, like, it sounded to me like this Gifts player just kept really shitty hands. You know what I mean? Like, why are you going to keep a hand that has, like, no removal spell against a Kiki Jiki deck?
Yeah, that seems pretty bad.
Like, you have to keep some, even like a Dark Blast, like, he has Dark Blast in his deck. Because I seen it like over the second game or whatever, but like even a Dark Blast to slow my mana production down, you know, he should know what to like gifts for. Like if you gifts for Elishnorn, it's pretty hard to beat unless I have access to my my Zealous Conscripts and you're at a low life, or my my image, Phantasmal Image. But other than that, I don't really run main deck removal. So, like, he gifts and given against me and then lost because he just didn't really know. He just got, like, a bunch of Wraths and Wrathed my board with a Kitchen Finks that my Kitchen Finks just comes back from the Wrath. And then, like, he Wrathed and then played a Lingering Soul. So then I was, like, Restoration Angel, my Kitchen Finks, untap, Zealous Conscripts, a token, and kill you.
Wow.
You know, so it's just like you can't really go for Wrath. If you resolve a Gifts and Given, you should be able to lock me out or like play around what I'm gonna do, you know what I mean? So yeah, you know, you can brew any kind of deck you want, you just have to be good with it. You have to understand the way that the format works. And right now, like one of the weaknesses of a lot of these good decks are the mana bases.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you run a deck with, like, four Fulminator Mage and, like, four Revelark, you know, then, like, that's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like you could really mess up the mana of some people with these people using filter lands and leaning on this, like, really greedy mana base. You know, like, that could be a thing.
Yeah. Plus, now that Zeus coming back, too, like, the land hate's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, now we got this, like, four-color Zoo deck or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, you can brew, like, you just have to understand, like, the points of the meta. And the same thing goes for Legacy, you know? If you understand, like, that there's show-and-tell decks, that there's, you know, tempo, like, you know, rug/bug-delver decks, then you just have to brew around that stuff, you know what I mean?
Isn't that the rule for all formats, though?
No, because, like, in Standard, like, you can't do that, right?
Why? Like, people do that all the time.
Yeah, but it doesn't, it's not, you can't do it and be successful.
In standard, there's a lot fewer cards to have to worry about, and therefore fewer card interactions, and it's an easier format to get a grip on, right? Because you have, like, just way less homework to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But like, the fundamental lesson that John's trying to teach, which is, like, know the format before you brew, isn't that the same?
It should be, yeah, except that people just don't get that note.
Well, in standard, the difference is this, is that because there's less cards, there's less constructive ways to interact with the powerful like synergies of the format. So you're like constricted if you want to be successful to basically answer these mechanics in this way or that way. You know what I mean? So you have to answer like Sphinx's Revelation and Thragtusk if you're going to play in standard, right?
Yeah.
But like the like go-to ways of doing this stuff is like Falcon Wrath Aristocrat and Hellrider. You know, like there's not a lot of like ways that you can go about doing it, you know?
Or like Slaughter Games.
Yeah, or Slaughter Games. But like in Legacy, like there's tons of card and interactions that you can use to sidestep all these strategies. You know what I mean? Like you can, like against Show and Tell, you can run like main deck Detention Spheres. So when they Show and Tell, you just reveal Detention Sphere and then you Detention Sphere what they Show and Tell. Or you can run like Fluster Storms, you know, or you can run Thoughtseize, you know, or you can run Counterspells. So like there's lots of different ways to interact with, you know, if you want to prepare for Dredge, you can run like Deathrite Shaman, or you can run, you know, Termod's Crypts, or you can run Leyline of the Voids, or you can run, you know, that little green creature that's awesome, Scavenging
Ooze.
You know, so like there's all of these different colors and different ways to interact with like graveyards or interact with like spells on the stack. But with standard, you don't have that. So that's why I say like it's not really a brewer's paradise in standard, because, you know, you have a certain way that you can deal, like you have optimal ways to deal with these cards. Sometimes the ways are not even good. And then you just have a format that goes stale, that has like infinite Sphinx's Revelations and infinite Thragtusk. Like we have
now. It just sounds exactly the same to me. And I guess it's because I look at brewers as doing the same thing. Like they just are using suboptimal cards to do that. Whereas like, I guess the difference in modern, I guess, is what, that there's more cards. So then there's just more ways to do the same thing.
I think that the best way to look at it is this, like, and hopefully this kind of gets us there. No one deck in Modern beats everything else, right? Like, every single deck, as dominant as it is, has an Achilles heel. And the problem is that every one of those decks that are in, like, the top five, top six, most of them have different Achilles heels. So, like, it's interesting because you literally have to decide, like, what do you want to beat? Like, you have to be able to accurately predict a metagame in order to be successful. You also need to be able to play a deck that's going to be able to beat all of those things, you know, and be successful. You have to get lucky and maybe dodge some matches, give up some matchups, you know, like it's, and those numbers and the depth that you have to do that is way, way bigger than standard will ever be, right? Yeah. So because of that, like, it's brewers, so brewers like it because they can play a bunch of different shit, but it's harder for brewers because there's a lot of different decks that all, like, it's hard to play a brewer's aggro strategy when fucking, like, 60% of the decks out there are designed to crush aggro, and they all do it in a different way.
Yeah. So modern is just the same as standard with a bigger card pool, is what you're saying.
No, because the bigger card pool makes it not the same.
Okay.
That's the whole point, is that, the bigger card pool makes it not the same. It makes it, you have the ability to brew decks in modern, where you don't have the ability to brew decks in standard.
But people brew decks in standard all the time.
Yeah, but they're not successful.
Right. But that's what I said. This 15-minute conversation is not, you're not actually answering the question. You're like Nina. What I'm saying is that you're saying that modern, to be healthy, needs to be able to have people that play these decks and brew and blah de blah. And then I said, yeah, that sounds really great, except for that it sounds like these decks are all shitty brews that you just roll over all the time. And then you said, no, it's different, and then talked about how there's diversity. But I'm not talking about diversity. I'm talking about, it sounds like all of these sweet decks that are diverse are still shit. Because everyone just rolls
they're
over
them. Shit, because these people are brewing shit. It's not right. Because
so it's the same as standard.
Not be that the decks are bad. It may be that the pilots are uneducated and therefore piloting them badly.
So it's the same as standard.
So, I played some Cube.
Sweet! That was about it.
It's my first
online Cube?
Online Holiday Cube.
Lame.
I sat down. Well, my son wanted to draft on Moto, and we were hanging out. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, why don't we do a cube draft? He's like, what's that? I'm like, I'm glad you asked. So we ended up sitting down, and the two of us just kind of, you know, ended up drafting out this deck, and we ended up with, like, blue-black, and we were looking good for Reanimator, and then we ended up getting caught on a couple Reanimate spells towards the end, so that was rough. But we got a lot of ramp to, like, offset, so we had an okay deck, and we ended up going, like, 2-2. But it was fun. We had a really good time. There was nothing like, you know, dropping a turn 4 Gristlebrand. That was pretty sweet. Lake of the Dead is a card. But
that's
what is Lake
awesome.
Of the Dead? It makes like all your swamps tap for 4 or something?
So Lake of the Dead is a card from Alliances. It when it enters the battlefield, you have to sacrifice a swamp, or you sacrifice it. And so basically it taps for a black mana, or you tap it and sacrifice a swamp to make 4 black mana. So you can like tap a swamp for 1, sack it for 4 more, like that's 5 mana on 2 lands. Shit. Yeah, it's insane. So it was so it was a lot of fun. We had a really good time, and the cube was sweet, and you know, we lost one game to a timely upheaval. Fucking ass monkey. I had lethal going back. He's like, upheaval? Fuck your face.
Upheaval? Fuck your face.
But it was good. It was a really good experience. I will play it again before it's done. I will for sure.
What are they prizing for the cube right now?
I think they price 3-1, and it's cube tickets, yeah.
Garbage.
But I mean, like, you can enter on some combination of cube tickets and regular tickets.
Yeah, it's just trash that it's like, you know, they give you cube tickets and then
you
can't use those for anything else, and then they take the cube away.
Yeah.
I watched Alex Bernicini cube. He did a stream.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just funny because, like, I think people are like, one of the weaknesses of Magic players, they suck at building decks.
Yeah.
Like, just in general. You know?
Make
so
cuts.
Like,
that's the hard part, right? Making cuts.
Yeah, or, like, putting a coherent strategy together seems really hard for some people.
Oh,
right. Because, like, I'm watching Alex.
They should,
like,
play Modern.
Yeah, they should. And then I'll get more free wins. It'll be sweet. So, like, I'm watching Alex, like, draft, and I see what he's doing, right? He builds this, like, blue-white, like, you know, control-y kind of deck, you know? And I'm like, okay, sweet. So he plays against these people who are just like, oh, I'll play this swamp go, and then, like, forest go, and then, like, oh, miss my land drop. And I'm just like, what? Like, what is this guy thinking? Like, how does he think he's going to get there? And then, like, after he finally makes his third land drop, he plays some, like, 3-drop that's, like, inconsequential to, like, every format of Magic. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? Like, what is he thinking? And then Alex is, like, easily, like, dispatching his opponents, right? Because his deck is, like, coherent. He makes his land drops. Like, the easy stuff, you know, make your land drops, play your cards, and win Magic. You know, it's like, no, nobody's putting up a fight at all. And I'm just like, how is this happening? Like, you know, he's playing, like, Signets and stuff and, like, accelerating these people. He's got, like, a turn 2 Jace, and this person has, like, Forest. I'm like
that's why a lot of people hate cube, though. They don't understand how it works, right? They don't understand why, like, card A is powerful, so then
or take Signets, like, take mana fixing, like,
yeah, and they're
like
that's stupid. I'm playing blue black, why would I take a blue red Signet?
So yeah, just like watching that happen, man, I'm just like, oh man, this is the worst. And Alex is like, oh, okay, so that was easy. We got that one. Let's go to the next one, and same thing, you know. No challenge, no, you know. So yeah, I see that happen all the time in cube decks.
I'd like to see like an 8-man pro cube draft.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
To see if it's any different.
So I'll tell you what. Here's something that's interesting. And I've been hearing about this. There's a streamers invitational championship that's going on.
Ah, yes.
Oh god. This thing, like, I can't wait to
That sounds sick.
Okay.
SIC. Streamers Invitational Championship. Go ahead.
So
you're the worst.
Wow. So
you're the worst.
it's AJ Soccer, Tom Martell, Sam Black, Owen Turtenwald, Michael Hetrick, I think, and 3 more that I just can't. Oh, Jan Vandervecht, Dizzy L, and two others. I don't know whether it's like Cedric and MJ or whether it's or who else. But anyways, it literally sounds like the most fun I could possibly watch, like the most amazing Magic set. So here's what's happening. There's going to be three rounds of return around to draft, three rounds of standard, three rounds of holiday cube, and then the finals will be basically at the end of that Swiss. The top two will have a deciding battle with standard, like 3-mana standard or three game. Oh. Yeah. So basically what they're doing is they're giving away, whoever's sponsoring this event, I don't know who it is, but there's going to be like a centralized stream where you can watch commentary and coverage and that sort of stuff. And then also each one of the streamers will all be streaming themselves. So you can like jump into one stream, then jump in the other and jump and like watch from their perspective and listen to their thought lines as well. And basically there's like a full set of foil standard that's up for grabs for the grand prize. And they're
paper
all
or paper or moto.
I don't know. But still insane. Like all standard, all foil. That's pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also getting like three packs of return to Rav for each round that they win.
Who's sponsoring this again?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Store.legitmtg.com.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you wish.
No, I'm just joking. But hey, if you guys want to buy singles, hit it up.
We're not part of this shit, but.
Sorry, Sal. I had to do it, Sal. Come on. You know what it's like, Sal, to come from the bottom and try to fight your way up.
Sal doesn't know what that's like. In his token, he's wearing a lobster bib.
Oh, man. Sal knows what it's like.
Rolling on dubs.
Oh, man.
So MTGOSC is the hashtag.
Oh, MTGOSC.
Yeah.
I thought it was called Sick.
No. Sick. Magic Online Streamer Sick. Championship. There. So the link is mtgosc.wordpress.com. Okay. AJ Soccer, Cedric Phillips, Jan Vandervecht, Michael Hetrick, Michael Jacob, Owen Turtenwald, Sam Black, Tom Martell. Three rounds of RTR draft, three rounds of standard, three rounds of cube, finals to cut two, everything is streamed. First prize is one standard legal foil set. Second is 36 packs of return to Ravnica. We've got three packs of RTR given away with every Swiss win, 108 additional packs in total. Tweets are coming from @FoundOmega. This seems like he's the sponsoring guy.
All right, So who's your guy in this? Who's your guy?
Like, those formats are insane.
Tom Martell.
I'll take Cedric Phillips.
Ooh, Michael Jacobs.
That's a sleeper.
It's
pick.
Jacob. It's not Jacobs, bro.
No, I could say Jacobs, bro.
Jacobs. It's Jacobs, bro.
Yeah, Jacobs, bro.
I don't even know who this
Vander nobody.
Dizzy L is his stream. I actually watched a lot of him. He's European. And so he's on at like some unreal like late hours.
He's European.
He has won a Mox, so that's sort of where he's at.
Yeah. Good job, JVZDQRS, whatever your name is.
Yeah, and Vandersnabbins.
JVDZ, Mr. Commister.
Way to go, Mr. Commister.
Oh, man.
So I think out of all of these people, yeah, you know what? I'll go with Owen on this one.
What? No.
Owen?
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yeah, I will. I'll go with Owen on this.
Owen's going to get crushed, bro. He's going to get crushed. My man, does. Cedric Phillips.
Phillips.
Just Cedric Phillips.
Then I'll pick a guy that's been on our show a few times. I'll pick AJ.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He has the bad beats always.
Always the bad beats, especially lately. Although maybe he's due. We'll see.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so it's on December 30th. So you guys should totally be watching.
Holy
that.
Shit, that's soon.
Yep. Hedrick might be okay too, you know, but be interesting to see how this all goes down.
Hedrick, I don't know, he seems too cocky for my taste, you know.
Yeah. Is Hedrick his first name?
Michael.
So I'm gonna pick Cedric Phillips.
Yeah. Are you gonna pick Cedric Phillips?
Humble man.
Yeah, he's so much more humble.
But yeah, so that's pretty sweet. That's something that's gonna be completely insane.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Mm-hmm. I will be watching.
If only Shaheen Surrani stream. That'd be sick.
Oh man. They should have did like wild card, like pick a nobody.
Well, you know what? Shaheen's a mad drafter too, right? Like that's where he cut his teeth in Magic, if I'm not mistaken. Like that's how he got on all the invitationals when they were doing draft opens. He just like fucking spike a couple of those and get in. So he might not be too terrible in there, but
he's
I don't know how good he is in Q.
Well, it's because he hates Legacy.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't he love Legacy? He plays like Esper Stoneblade or something.
Yeah, it's all he plays in Legacy.
Yeah, but he used to just play draft opens because he didn't want to play Legacy. That's why he like was always. He was sort of, I guess, once he had to play them at GPs, started to pick up Esper Stoneblade.
When's GP Denver? Because that's Legacy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's I believe late January. There was a trial at Face to Face Games recently.
We should do a crazy talk episode. A crazy talk episode on
I don't know shit. Except Rug Delver is probably my favorite Legacy deck of all time.
You know that deck is garbage now, right?
Garbage.
But if like it's really hard to play and at the same time really fun because you just all you need is like one land.
That sounds like fun Magic. All you need is one land and you can destroy your opponents.
One land and then you can cast like most of your spells is up Tarmogoyf, and then you feel like you feel like you have so much gas in your hand, so I really love that deck.
Like a cup of fart.
That's what I would play, even though it's not the best deck.
You'd play that?
I would definitely enjoy playing Rug Delver.
Oh man, KYT's all about the Rug Delver. I still hate Delver. Like as a card, I was playing Legacy the other day, and like some kids like turn one Delver, and I'm like, get out of my face!
I'm like depressed that my Delvers are just like rotting in my like trash.
Dude, play Legacy, man!
It's like everyone complained about Delver, but like how long was Delver even around for? Like maybe a year?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's still
sweet
scary.
Sweet card design.
It's still scary in Legacy, man.
Just create a card that we're only going to use for half of its, you know.
It's everywhere in Legacy, man. It was the biggest deck. Like Rug Delver was the biggest deck for a long time.
Fish. Now it's Bug Delver.
Yeah.
Now Deathrite Shaman is the shit.
Yeah, so it's still a cup of fart.
You know what? But Bug Delver is easy to beat, you know?
Oh.
You just have to run your own Deathrite Shamans, bro.
Cool. So it's like Delver or Cobblade, where you just play the same deck and know the mirror. You just gotta mirror tech him.
Yeah, except for I don't run Bug Delver because that's lame.
No.
Obviously. I run Bant Blade, splashing black for Deathrite Shaman.
Oh.
Yeah. And Geist of St. Traff. When you get a swing with a Geistane Trap in Legacy, it's twice as fun.
Is it?
Oh yeah, because the other guy like has Force Wheels in his hands and like Armagoyfs, and I'm just like, yeah, swing my standard card, here it comes.
Huh. Suck it, poop face. And then what do they say?
Nice dual lands, bro.
Like you like my mirrored in fast land? That's really I'm like, quick.
I'm like Razor Verge Thicket, Noble Hire, go. Seacrum Coast, Geist of Satraf, go. You're like, oh crap!
It's coming! Yeah, Geist of Satraf and Noble Hierarch are pretty absurd together, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh yeah, man, and Elspeth, Knight Errant, pretty sweet. Yeah.
It's messy.
That's a Bantblade deck right there, bro.
You know what's funny is all that's modern legal.
Yeah, except for Stoneforge Mystic is not.
Yeah, no, I didn't mention Stoneforge.
Yeah, but this is Bantblade, so there's Stoneforge.
Well, you know, that's up to you.
I actually played an interesting guy who was playing Legacy, and he was playing like Titan.deck.
What?
Legacy. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, okay, like this is gonna be super easy. Like, thanks for bringing your like standard/modern deck to Legacy, right? It wasn't super easy. He's like, turn one birds, go. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Gotcha. And
I'm like, yeah, I'll play my Noble Hierarch, you know, my foil Noble Hierarch. Go ahead, you know?
Go ahead with your and then he's like, white-bordered birds.
He's like, I'll play a Shockland, take two damage. I'm like, this guy's going to die. And then he's like, what's that three-drop that that you can tap and make three mana?
Oh, Uvenwald Sage or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, whatever, Sage, like, go. And I'm like,
turn two Sage, go.
I'm like, oh, crap. Like, this would be like a turn three something big. Like, that's not good. And then he's like, all right. I'm like, yeah, I'll play, like, whatever I play. I don't remember, like, Sylvan Library, right? I'm like, Sylvan Library, go. And I'll hit you for one with my Noble Hierarch. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, Cavern of Souls, naming Titan. Giant, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, he's actually gonna just like, so he's just like, Inferno Titan, kill your mana dork.
Wow.
I'm like, this is not good for me. This is not the greatest.
Guess I should have just swords that Sage, huh?
Yeah, well, I didn't have the swords, and that's the thing, is like, with this deck, if you don't like have the swords, like, he's just gonna Titan you. So like, I was like, all right, so I finally, like, dug out of it. I found a sword, I killed this Titan, and, like, he ran out of gas because he had, like, such an explosive start. So, like, next game, I just mulligan to my Jeep, and then I'm like, all right, no more Somberwald Sage.
Wow.
So, yeah, I just played, like, turn two Jeep in, like, games two and three because I just mulliganed to, like, Stoneforge or the Jit.
Yeah.
And then I just jitted his, guys and wastelanded his Shocklands just so he couldn't Titan me.
Fuck.
Yeah, but it was, like, crazy. I'm, like, starting to think, man, I want to brew a deck with Somberwald Sage. And, like, he must have, like, four caverns in that deck. Because I was watching him play other people. He always had, like, the turn three cavern. And then it would just, like, Grave Titan. Or, like, something. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's so gross in Legacy. Like, how are you supposed to deal with that?
In the format where all of the cards are supposed to be at their most supremely powerful, and the Titans are still like, oh my god, I can't handle that. What the
hell? Because you're just like, what do you have? You have like swords, you have like Force Will that does nothing, right?
Well, you're like, and Grave then, Titan is like terrible for you.
Yeah, and you're like, Tarmogoyf? Nope, not big as Grave Titan. Also has Death Touch, by the way. You're like, oh crap, I'm going to play my Delver, go. He's like, rumble in with Grave Titan. Yeah, it was awesome.
Fuck.
So yeah, I almost got killed by that guy. Instead, I got knocked out of the tournament by this smart-ass little kid who was like, don't worry, man, you got this. I'm so bad at this game.
Oh, man, I hate people who do that.
Oh, I hate it when he does that, too, because I'm like, this is a terrible matchup. I don't run Force Will main deck in my Legacy deck because my deck is, like, the philosophy is to, like, present a lot of threats, and, like, all these, like, tempo decks, like, Delver and like stuff like that is they just get like out threaded, you know what I mean? Because they're running Forces main, so they're like drawing Force Wheels, and I'm drawing like Geist of St. Traff and Stoneforge Mystics and equipment, you know. And I have like 8 mana dudes, so they can hold any equipment, so like every dude is a threat. So that's like the philosophy. So anyways, I don't have Force Wheels main deck, so this kid is playing Show and Tell, right? And I only have like 4 counter spells in my whole deck. It's 2 Flusterstorm and 2 Spell Pierce. So, like, game one is, like, I concede to Show and Tell because they can just, like, turn two Show and Tell me, and then I just can't. I guess I also have a Detention Sphere main deck, so I can Detention Sphere or I can Caracas, depending on what they do. But, yeah, so this kid's like, yeah, man, I'm not that good. Don't worry, you got this. And I'm like, no, I don't. So the kid plays, he sees my hand with Gitaxian Probe. He sees I have a Flusterstorm. And then he plays his Show and Tell, and he leaves 1 mana open. So I'm like, okay, Flusterstorm. And he goes, okay, pay for it. And he taps 1 mana. Well, Flusterstorm has Storm, so you have to pay for every Storm, every spell that was played, since he played a show and tell and I played a Flusterstorm, there's two copies, right? So then I'm just like, okay, well, that copy is countered. Like, next copy. Like, what are you going to do? And he's like, okay, so I have to pay for it. And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, crap. Okay, it gets countered. And I'm just like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, I just free-rolled the Flusterstorm. This is sick. So, like, I start beating him down with Guy Stain Traff, get him down to low life, and then he's just like, oh, like, ponder, like, whatever, preordain, show and tell. And this time I don't have anything, so I'm like, yeah, okay, it resolves. And he's like, okay, omniscience.
Fuck.
And I'm just like, okay, yeah. So when you play omniscience and then you play Emrakul, you get an extra turn. So, because you're casting Emrakul. So he took his extra turn and killed me. So I'm like, all right, yeah, you got their game one. That's okay. I bring in my Force of Wills. I bring in my full set of Flusterstorms. Like, let's rock and roll. We got this, right? So I bring in the Force of Wills, and I'm like sitting on Spell Pierce, Force of Will. And I'm like, there's no way this kid can win. So I'm like trying to keep Spell Pierce and Force of Will open the whole time. I play a Geist. I start to do the beats. And then he goes show and tell. So I'm like, okay, Spell Pierce it. And then he's like, okay, Force of Will, your Spell Pierce. And I'm like, okay, Force of Will, your show and tell. And then he's like, okay, Force of Will, your Force of Will. I'm like, show and tell and double force. Okay, must be nice, whatever. So the last card in his hand is Omniscience. He plays Omniscience. And he's got no hand. He's like, okay, go. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I got to dig for an answer before he draws Emrakul. Because if he draws Emrakul, it's over, you know? So, like, I have a Corrosive Grip that I boarded in, and I have my Detention Sphere. If I can get either of those, then I kill the Omniscience, and then I just win. So, I started digging for it, and, like, he gets dropped down to, like, 4 life. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm just going to kill him anyways, you know? Like, if he doesn't draw an Emrakul right now. So I pass the turn, and he's like, oh, Emrakul. Play Emrakul. And I'm just like, all right.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because, like, you know, obviously he has, it can't be countered, right? Has Omniscience in play. He's at 4 life. He draws a card. It's Emrakul. So he's like, Emrakul, take an extra turn, kill you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm like, this is stupid. Like, so I raged a little bit, but yeah. So just like we were talking about with our brewing, right? I decided to concede game one to show and tell, and sometimes they have double force in game two, and then you lose.
Brutal.
I don't know where I'm going with all that. Legacy.
Yeah.
GP Denver. What were we talking about? Rug Delver? I don't remember.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention, I hate people who say something like right before they crush you. Like, especially in draft. Oh, my deck's terrible. Then they proceed to, like, play the biggest bombs.
Yeah, then they show you, like, 5 bombs, and you're just like, okay.
Or my favorite is after they crush you, they're like, oh, my deck usually doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, just shut up, dude. Just shut. Get out of my face.
My favorite is, especially in Cube, when you're playing somebody and they're like, my deck's fucking terrible, whatever, let's just hurry up. And they're being like total cunts. Like, they're like, they shuffle and they're like, here, come at it, clear it, whatever. Yeah, I guess I keep it, whatever. And it's 2 lands and then like 5 2 drops that have haste and first strike or something. Like, just retarded. Oh, top deck of G, whatever. Top deck of sword, whatever. Top deck of Mana Crypt with a sword, whatever, whatever. Like, whatever. Just hurry up. Get it over with. And then they crush you, and you're like, all right, whatever. Game two, it's going to be different. And then game two, you're like, oh, bribery you? And you see, like, the best card in their deck's, like, a 4/4/4. And you're like, oh, shit. And then they're like, yeah, whatever. My deck's shit. Whatever. Whatever. And you're just like, God damn you. God damn you. Fucking, oh, God damn it, Scuba Steve.
Scuba
get
Steve.
Get your shit together. I hate those people.
One of my friends.
Yeah, who's worse? Who's worse? Okay. Those people or the best case scenario guy?
What do you
know, the guy that, like, everything is best case scenario. He's like, oh, man, I'm going to play this fucking this new Boros thing where you have to attack with like four dudes at a time and you lightning heals. And then you're like, yeah, but what about this? And they're like, no, like, what about this? What about this? And you're like, yeah, but what about this? And they're like, no, it never happens because I got this. You know?
I'm going to have to say, it's the guys who like, oh yeah, my deck is crap. And then they just roll you.
I think it's,
those guys are worse. Because everyone has a little bit of best case scenario in their mind. You know what I mean? Everyone is a little bit that guy. You know? Every Magic player wants to be like, yeah, turn two guys to Saint Traff. Woo!
Can we talk a little bit maybe about these new mechanics real quick before we like call
devolve it? Into like whatever we're devolving into?
Yeah, can we just do that real quick?
Yes.
Plus we're like 20 minutes away or whatever from actually getting the last one, right? So, okay. So on the mothership, there have been basically repeats of fucking terrible articles throughout the year. And what they've done every day is they've put a like a present that you can click on. And every time you open it up, it shows you a new preview card. So what's neat about these preview cards is what they also do is they tell you what the new keywords are. So the first one to come out was Simic Flux Mage, which was a blue and 2/1/2, which is a creature merfolk wizard, and it has the ability...
It's not a merfolk wizard, it's a human wizard.
I'm looking at Salvation. It's a merfolk wizard. Sorry, I'm looking at a picture of the card.
I'm going to look at this. I thought it was a human.
No, you're wrong.
We're talking about the one with Evolve. Okay.
Right, so its keyword is Evolve. Yeah.
Evolve.
I thought you were talking about the blue green.
No. So its keyword is evolve. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature has greater power or toughness than this creature, put a 1/1 counter on this creature. So basically, whenever you play a guy, or whenever a guy enters the battlefield that's bigger than this guy, he gets a 1/1 counter.
So whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature has greater power or toughness, then this creature
gets bigger.
That's basically
what it is.
Yeah. So
basically.
Now what's nice is it's also got the ability, just flavorfully, like it's the Simic did last time with Graft and being able to like move their 1/1 counters around. So this has an activated ability as well, which is like blue 1 tap, move a 1/1 counter from Simic Flux Mage onto target creature. So it has ways to like spread the wealth of this around. So what do we think about this as a mechanic?
I think it's sick.
S-I-C.
S-I-C. Streamers Invitational Championship.
Okay, I have to apologize for my shortness when I was talking about the card. Yeah, Fathom Mage, I'm just now seeing it. That's retarded. That's a human wizard.
Yeah, I love that card.
What card is that?
Fathom Mage.
So Fathom Mage is green blue 2 for a 1/1 human wizard. Also with Evolve. It's a rare.
Is it the same Evolve? Gets a 1/1 counter?
Yeah, whenever something comes into play that's bigger than it, it gets a 1/1 counter. But whenever a 1/1 counter is placed on Fathom Mage, you may draw a card.
And you love this card.
I think it's crazy.
You think it's crazy?
I don't think it's standard crazy, but I think it's like it's a deserved limited bomb. If this ends up in your like Simic,
limited, limited.
Like this is insane. Like if this ends up, if you get the Simic box, and like this is your rare or one of your rares in the Simic box, like this is gonna fucking do so much work for you. It's gonna make you sick.
Yeah. This card's insane and limited. I think it's standard or like constructed. It's not great.
No, I agree. But this could be a really nice, like, you know, at a commander table, it could be a really nice, innocuous way to draw a fuck ton of cards.
Well, there's got to be some kind of combo where, like, if you blink it with, like, that mage or something, and then, you know what I mean, the hedge, it's like a blue-white mage that you can blink things?
Yeah, miss Metal Witch.
Yeah, as you miss Metal Witch it, and, like, can you
it sounds
miss
like
Metal
a couple
Witch?
Of best-case scenario guys have joined the cast.
Yeah. I'm just saying, what I'm saying is there's got to be like some kind of combo with it where you can draw your deck.
Yeah. Anyways, he's pretty crazy. I think that anyway, so Jay, what do you think of Evolve as a mechanic?
I don't know. Sounds fine.
My name
it sounds
is Jay
fine.
Bush.
Like
I don't know.
Sure there's some way to exploit it, maybe, or like, does the one guy have 0/1? Is he 0/1?
No, one guy's 1/2, and the Fathom Mage is 1/1.
Okay, so okay, so the way that design works and development, by the way, is that they try to design mechanics mostly for limited, and then they try to push one or two cards that are really good in that mechanic for constructed. So evolve, I don't feel like we probably are looking at the two best evolve cards. Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
I agree with you.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, I think evolve's fine, but I mean, like, the guy like has summoning sickness and it's a tap ability, and he gets a 1/1 counter. Like, maybe if he's an 0/1 and you play like Midnight Haunting and he becomes like a 2/3, like that's kind of cool, right? And then you make your tokens 2/2s. Oh, blim blam. But like,
blim blam.
They have to be like their power and toughness have to be like really sick.
Yeah, I just don't know how good this mechanic is. Like, it's kind of similar with the battle attack formation.
Well,
we'll get there.
We'll do that one next.
But it's okay. So like, that's all I have to say. Really, is it's me. I don't care. Like, a lot of best case scenario people are going to try to convince me that it's a constructed playable mechanic. I'm sure that it might be at one point, maybe sort of. But for right now, it just doesn't seem like it's that great.
Okay. KOT?
I see this more, like, these two cards are more, like Jay said, to me, they're more limited cards at this time. So, I mean, like you said, in Commander or in some crazy casual game where you, I guess, play Phantom Mage and, like, Precursor Golem or something, draw three cards or something crazy. But, you know, something that's like their power and toughness is really close to what their mana cost is, and then you start, you know, just making a complete creature deck, then that could be constructed playable. Mm. As far as the what I think about the mechanic, it's all right.
Okay.
I'm not like a counter type of person, especially if you have to constantly, if there's going to be many of them.
Yeah. Okay, so you don't own like several and, like, of dice.
Like, you don't want to like use this on like a fucking turn one, like, I mean, at a sorcery speed either, right? So like, you're gonna be like, okay, play this guy, give this guy unleash or whatever it is, unleash with a move around ability, and then like go, and then you're like hope your opponent like what walks into that.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, you could play like Restoration Angel or something, and then
this mechanic will be good with cards that are already good. Yeah.
Yeah. Simic is traditionally also known for like their huge fucking guys too, right? So I guess it's a way for their little guys to try to catch up when, you know, if you flood the board and limited and it's stalled out and you just start dropping fatties, like, yeah, they're all going to catch up and help you break stall. So, I mean, in that capacity, it could be pretty good.
In limited, it'll be very good.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have a 2/2 flyer that you make a 3/3 flyer, you play a guy and then you make it a 4/4 flyer, and then you, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be, you know, big red dick hammer, but it's just gonna be whatever. I think personally,
what if there's like a mana dork with this ability? Okay. That would be insane, huh?
Well, somebody,
actually, that would be good.
Somebody had one in one of the forums where it's they make a mana dork that can tap for colorless, and then if it has a counter on it, it can tap for any color, and then it has the mechanic, so you can like put a counter on it, tap for any color, but then you also like have to move the mechanic off of it if you want to use that ability, like, which I think is cool. Like, I like when they make abilities that aren't just always get the bonus, do it the right way all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So next one, you briefly alluded to it. The Fire Main Avenger is another one that got, it's the Boros one that got spoiled.
Yeah.
So it's a 3/3 angel for red, white, 2. And it's flying, and it's got the keyword battalion. So it's whenever Fire Main Avenger and at least 2 other creatures attack, Fire Main Angel deals 3 damage to target creature or player, and you gain 3 life. So if this guy attacks with 2 other guys, you get a Lightning Helix. So this guy's pretty ridiculous, right? Like, in limited, this guy's like clearly stupid bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, in limited, this guy is like actually just retarded.
Yeah.
Because, like, Lightning Helix is good anyway. Being able to do it multiple times in, you know, with a flying guy.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah, like by itself, it's already good enough. You know what I mean?
What I find interesting is, and what I'd like to see is, if battalion is limited, always going to be to the 3 total people attacking. Like,
it is because it's keyworded that way or whatever, is it not?
Well, no, it just says battalion. Whenever Fireman Avenger and at least two other creatures attack,
yeah,
it does this. I mean. So what if it's battalion whenever dirtily little dipshit and one other creature attacks?
No. Then it would say battalion X.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was trying to like.
Yeah,
for
but
template,
the ability
for
is going to be different.
No. Yeah, the ability obviously will be different. Not every guy's going to hit Lightning Helix. That's retarded. But but it's not going to be like battalion. There's not going to be guys that are like battalion one, battalion two, battalion three. If it was, it would say that. It would say like battalion one, and then it would say when this creature and one other guy attacks, and then it would say battalion four when this creature and four other creatures attack. Because it just says battalion, it's always going to be that guy and three other guys.
Two other guys,
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and yes, everybody listening out there, we know Odric also fucking shut up.
So
it's two other guys, right?
I thought Battalion was three and Odric was three, or is Odric
Odric's three. Two? Yeah, Odric's three and Battalion's two.
Battalion's two, yeah.
Yeah. He's gonna be legal in that same set, so that's interesting too.
It doesn't make it good. The thing with a mechanic like that is there are uncounterable wraths.
Yeah.
Nice fucking deck. Move on.
So, moving on to Rubble Hulk. So, Rubble Hulk is a...
We didn't ask KYT what he thinks of Battalion.
No, I think it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Now I can move on? Okay.
Yeah.
So, the next...
time to speak.
So, the next one is Rubble Hulk. Rubble Hulk. And it's green-red 4. For a star, where his power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. Okay? So his ability is Blood Rush, which is colorless, in this case, colorless red green. Discard Rubble Hulk. Target attacking creature gets +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of lands you control. So he's like a huge fucking dude and a combat trick.
He's also an uncounterable combat trick.
Yeah. KYT, what do you think?
Unless they reprint Stifle.
Yeah. KYT? What do you think?
Kubitizil.
I'm pondering.
Oh, look at the top three. What do you see?
Shuffle it away.
75% of your ponders. Ship that.
Okay, so KYT is having trouble speaking English out loud.
Good.
John?
Just say it's cool. Just say. Well, I don't know how this thing will be in constructed. I feel like a lot of these, like so far, are very like combat oriented. Like Jay said, like limited oriented. You know, like I'm more of a control player, anyways. So like having dudes is a liability. You know what I mean? I don't want to have dudes to, you know, put counters on or to pump up with this guy or whatever. I just don't want to have creatures. Like, I just want to kill him with other stuff, you know? So, that being said, I would love to play this card in my Ural EDH deck.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, late game, you just, like, you have an anger in the graveyard, and then you can just play Ural, and then just one-shot somebody with it.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. Seems sick, right?
I'm going to go to Jay last because he's going to clearly have the most educated and, you know, understanding answer. So I'll just I think your point about it being uncounterable combat trick is amazing. I like the fact that it's
incredibly
not,
astute.
I think
amazing
fact,
point for reading the card, yeah, Jay.
I think the fact
that's
that
so
it's
amazing.
Not. I don't remember when you said that, you fucking idiot.
So the fact that it's not legendary.
I put a real life application forward, okay? But you get an incredible opinion because you read the card. And you know, it can't be countered unless they reprint Stifle.
Hey.
Thank you for telling us the rules, Jay.
Okay.
You're just jelly.
All right. So. The fact that he's not legendary means you don't really get punished for playing lots of them, and I think a lot of the like Naya and Jund decks that may like this guy also have access to, you know, dumb cards like, I mean, her mana is perfect, and a lot of these people are playing, like, I mean, Conley Woods, for example, played the Unburial Rites, like, in his fucking deck, and he was just bringing back value guys. Like, the fact that you can potentially use this guy as an early combat trick, just get in, and then Unburial Rites him later for, like, 8? Like, this guy's stupid. I think that he's going to find a pretty good home in some of the niche decks, like this guy in particular. But as far as the mechanic goes, like I think it's potentially insane.
What do you mean?
Well, you literally have the capacity to create a deck that could basically be almost all guys, right? Like, it seems like the gruel mechanic just wants you to do that.
Yeah.
And you can then turn these guys into these absurd combat tricks and just punch through. Like, if
Isn't
you
that
throw
what
this...
Wolf Run does right now?
Sure. Absolutely. And it's going to help. Like, I think this, like...
Yeah, well, Wolf Run is not, like, insane. You know what I mean? It's a good card, but
well,
it's
no,
not
but
insane.
Wolf Run is also mana intensive, right? This is not mana intensive.
It costs like 4 mana to do it, right?
3 fucking mana. This guy's 3. Other ones maybe less. Because like Jay said, as far as templating goes, this is Blood Rush with a cost. Some people may have a higher Blood Rush cost, and some people may have a lower
Blood
Rush
cost. Yeah,
they
might have suckier Blood Rush, like...
Absolutely.
God damn it, you're an idiot.
But like, how good... but how sweet would it be to have like a 2-drop guy, or like a 1-drop guy that's like 2-3, or a 2-drop 3-3 or whatever, with his Blood Rush ability being fucking 1 green? Like, you could have a 3-3, or you could attack and have a giant growth. Like, that's good. That's utility and value. These are two things, Jonathan, that you should be very well versed in. Specifically value. Jay, what do you think of Blood Rush?
I'm ready now.
Okay.
I'm just really happy. Actually, this is, now that I've read it over and over again, it's my favorite mechanic of the set, especially for limited.
Is what?
My favorite mechanic.
This one.
What
is? This one, Blood Rush.
Blood Rush.
Okay.
Just because it just gives, I'm just really defining what the card mechanic really is. It gives options to, you know, play as a spell or as a creature, which gives, like, if you're playing against a worse player, it gets more ways for me to, let's say, outplay my opponent, because they might, you know, when they need a creature, they might use the spell like ineffectively or stuff like that. So I'm actually really looking forward to playing with this mechanic in limited if there are more good Blood Rush cards in the set.
All right, Jay, go.
So this mechanic's like not super exciting, but the thing that's really good about it in limited is, yeah, like if you have a handful of Blood Rush guys and then a board full of creatures, like limited always is, then you just always have like basically a split spell. And so that's really good, because having one spell that's good against your opponent is not as good as having two spells that's good against your opponent. This is not rocket surgery. like John Medina seems to think it's fucking rocket surgery. He's got it figured out. But yeah, and then like the other thing that's really sweet about like mechanics like this is that because it's uncounterable, like people will discount that and be like, thanks Dave for telling me that it's uncounterable. That's actually really, 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 really a big deal. When you think about having combat tricks, and then the guy's like, oh, does he have the combat trick or not? I'm going to play around that. Oh, he plays the combat trick? Well, I got to play it. If he's got the counter spell, I lose. If he doesn't, then I win. Now you don't have to ever do that ever. Blammo. You just fucking have to worry if he's got the Doomblade, which maybe they don't even reprint. You know? Having your ship be uncounterable is really, really relevant. It is. So
good.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know how good, I don't know how many cards there'll be or how good it'll be or what, but... you know, like that, like if that is like an indication of what the mechanic's going to be like, then I think it'll be playable.
I think it's the most constructive playable out of the ones we've seen so far.
You're probably right. What are the ones that we've seen so far?
So there's one more that we've seen, and then there's another one that's coming up in 6 minutes. So we can talk about that after. So the next one that we've seen is the Orzhov one, the black white, and the card that they spoiled is Treasury Thrall, which is a 4/4 for 6, which is white-black 4. And it's a Thrall, so the Thralls are back, which is cool. For those of you that are like old-school flavorites in the from the Fallen Empires days. Whatever Treasury Thrall attacks, you may return target artifact, creature, or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. And the Orzhov ability is called Extort. So whenever you cast a spell, you may pay hybrid white-black. If you do, each opponent loses 1 life, and you gain that much life.
Yeah, I don't know how good that is. That seems kind of marginal.
It, like, I mean, the fact that each opponent loses 1 life and you gain that much life, like, it's clearly a multiplayer house.
Well, they probably just designed it with multiplayer in mind, but, like, they didn't design it for multiplayer, if that
Agreed.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean. They templated it to allow for multiplayer shenanigans.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in limited, again, depending on how many, like, guys that they make that are actually relevant with that ability...
Well,
but,
because if this guy's on the field,
yeah,
Like, how many other, you mean how many other guys have extort on the field at
That's
once?
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, like okay. I don't know how good the mechanic will be based on how many guys they're going to make with it. Like, this guy's a fucking six drop. Like,
yeah.
You play this guy as a six drop in limited, how many cards you've left in your hand? Yeah. Hopefully yeah, you have none
one
cards
drop
left.
With extort.
Yeah, like that's a different, you know, yeah. That's a different yeah. scenario.
Well, whenever he attacks, he's bringing something back for you to cast too, right?
Yeah, but
what if
he's
a
but
mana dork with extort.
But he's like a six drop. Like the problem is that he's a six drop, right?
Yeah, I know. So let's look
seven,
at
seven. He brings back one thing for you to get. Like that's a little bit, you know.
So look at the mechanic then. As a mechanic, talk about extort.
Yeah. So like it seems fine, and I feel like. In limited, it's probably better than you give it, like, than we give it credit. It's, I'm assuming, because like, marginal stuff always is really good in limited, right?
Yeah, like, because if there's a ground stall, then you're just playing dudes and burning them.
Yeah, same with, like, you know, 1-1 flyers, 2-1 flyers, like, are always good in limited because, you know, oh, you don't have a flying blocker or removal, then, you know, you have a 10-turn clock, but in limited, that's, you know, that's 10 turns. That's a lot faster than it's standard, right? Standard, you have answers and shit, but, like, I feel like it's probably going to be, like, still not very good, but it'll probably be, like, people will lose to it because they'll think that it's bad, which is different than not very good. You know what I mean?
Is this what it will be for everything? Like, will everything with extort be pay one?
Yeah.
Because
it's a keyword, okay. Right? So that's it might not be the same cost. It might not be hybrid. I believe it'll probably be hybrid, I think.
I think based if your explanation about templating with battalion is correct, then 100% it'll always just be pay one more.
Yeah, I think so. But who knows, right? Like, or it might be different colors. There might be mono-colored extort and mono. You know what I mean? It'll probably always be in like one more. But you know, I mean, the other thing is that's really mana intensive. Like, if they print any counter spells in this set that are like mana leak or anything like that, or daze or anything like that, right? Like, that becomes kind of. I don't know. I didn't play in Ravnica, so I don't know. You know what the prevalence of anything like that is, but
yeah.
You know, when everything costs one more, like, it kind of becomes a value decision. Like, bad players will play it wrong, right? It's, do you play this guy at six, you know, or do you play this other guy at six so that you can play your six drop at seven so that you can extort it?
Uh-huh.
Right? And then, oh, now it's too late. They played another guy, or they held up mana for a counterspell, or, you know, they played a guy that you have to answer, so now you can't extort this guy. You got to do this other thing, and then, you know, it's too late to always do that. Like, that's kind of the limited magic is has a lot of intricacies like that. And I find when you have really mana intensive mechanics, a lot of people sometimes can kind of misplay them, you know, like with the, what's it called? Channel or grandeur. What's this new mechanic? The gruel mechanic.
Oh, blood rush.
Blood rush. Like that's, no one's going to misplay that. Like you attack and then they say no blockers. And then you say blood rage for five. And then
yeah.
Yeah, game two. Like, no one's cast this guy. Oh, I mean, blood rage him. Oh, I mean, I'll wait 10 turns to blood rage this guy perfectly. Like, no, you know what I mean?
But, is that the version of the mechanic, blood rage?
Blood rush. It's blood rush.
I like Jay's version.
Blood rage.
Yeah.
When I first seen this extort mechanic, I thought of Smitty immediately.
Yeah.
Because he loves that whole, like, blood artist thing, you know?
Yep.
So, like, this is, like, similar to blood artist, but not in the sense that blood artist is free, obviously. This costs mana.
I've already seen Dirtles talking about, like, Heartless Summoning Gravecrawler extort decks.
Yeah, but then you still have to pay one.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. Like, you pay one to ping to drain them for one, man, dude, bro.
No, you have to pay two because you still have to pay one to cast Gravecrawler.
No, it's yeah. So you just pay two to drain them with a Blood Artist. You're double drain, man, bro. Then killing wave them. Oh, bro, dude.
I don't know. Heartless Summoning with this guy is kind of interesting, though. You know.
So we now have the last mechanic spoiled.
Okay.
If we're interested to move in moving on.
It's for Dimir, it better be saucy.
It's actually pretty interesting. So the card that's spoiled is called Whispering Madness. It's a rare. It's black blue 2, a sorcery. Each player discards his or her hand, then draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards a player discarded this way. So it's Windfall.
Yeah.
Okay. The keyword ability is called Cipher. C-I-P-H-E-R, like code, Cipher.
Yeah.
The actual text is, then. So Cipher is, then, after you've done whatever's on the spell, you may exile this spell card encoded on a creature you control. Whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player, its controller may cast a copy of the encoded card without paying its mana cost.
Mm.
I have no fucking idea what you just
said. So here's what happens. So I cast Whispering Madness. So the second part of this card, the first one is the Windfall. The second part of the card is I then exile the spell card and basically almost like equip it permanently to a creature I control. Whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player, I get to create a copy of this card without paying any mana.
So could you imagine, like, if there was a Doomblade with Cypher?
Yeah. And every time I get in with this guy,
you like, just Doomblade something.
Like, Invisible Stalker, anyone?
Yeah, you just Cypher it on Invisible Stalker and start, like, just nailing them over.
Right?
And over. You could even mill them with that. Like, yeah. With this card and, like, Invisible Stalker?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think, like, as far as mechanics go, I think this is the coolest one. If this is on sweet spells, then this could be, like, retarded.
Man, I think I'm too tired, but I have no idea how this mechanic works.
Okay, you play the spell?
Yeah.
And then after that, with that spell, as part of resolution, you attach it to a creature.
Like Haunt. Ew.
Except that it doesn't go away until the creature leaves play.
Okay.
So every time you hit them with the creature,
yeah,
you repeat the spell. You may.
Shit.
Right?
Pretty good.
Yeah. So, like, if you play this and you have a Geistestaint draft, you're just like, yeah, smack you. Cipher. I don't know why you'd want to keep replaying Whispering Madness. I mean, that.
Well, yeah. So there are people that have been assuming that the way that Dimir is going to win is through decking. Like, that's.
Yeah, mill people.
Mill people. I mean, like, Drownyard's good, and there was that Transguild Courier?
Yeah.
And he, like, deals combat damage as milling.
Yeah.
So they thought that that was a plant, but Cypher looks dirty.
Yeah, I want them to put it on a spell that isn't milling. I want them to put it on, like a card draw spell. Like, could you imagine if you had, like, Preordain with Cypher?
This is a card draw spell.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, a real one. Not
You
not
mean, like, something
costs,
dirt,
like,
cheap.
Yeah, not something that costs, like, 4 mana.
Doesn't cost you anything after you Cypher it.
Yeah, but, like, you have to have
All right, Mr. Best Case Scenario.
I told you there's a best case scenario in all of us, man. In all of us. Even you, Mr. Boosh.
Yeah, you got me. You figured me out.
Anyways, I think it's cool.
That sounds like the thing is this. Wizards always, they're such idiots, but they always make free spells, and then they're like, we know how to balance this. And then they fucking blow it. And it's not balanced, and it just rapes you. Or whatever non-offensive word you want to use. It's just really, really great. But then they always are like, oh man, the mistake we made with this free, you know, blara, is that we should have, you know, blee blah blee. And then they, so like, I'm worried that they probably got it right with this free mechanic, and like, now it's shit, you know? But if it's not, and it, like, they didn't balance it properly and somebody breaks it, like, it's free spells. You win the game with free spells. It's game over, man.
Remember Phyrexian Mana? Yep.
Yeah, like, and before that it was Cascade, and before that it was, like, Storm, and, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And Force of Will for Cripes.
Force of Will is not really that good.
No, it's trash. I don't know why it's worth, like, $80 million.
It's a necessary part of Legacy, that's just, why. Just it's not a good card, though,
no,
in that sense.
It's poor design. It's very poor.
Okay, can you explain why? What is
No, I really don't care. I really don't want to do this tonight.
Well, he just assumes, oh, it's worth $70, so it's a good card.
No, yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. Juzum Jin is worth $125. That card must be really good.
It must be super
good.
Yeah,
the card must be insane.
It's about as good as a Plague Sliver.
It's about as good as a Plague Sliver.
Plague Sliver is good.
Yeah, that's tearing up Modern right now.
And you could build a Sliver deck, and then you could... Oh, man.
Plague Sliver is better, because you can build a Sliver deck with it. Oh, man. What I'm saying is that Force of Will is necessary to beat combo decks in Legacy.
Yeah.
But to exile a card from your hand to counter a spell is not a good thing. It's not something you always want to do. But sometimes you have to do it so you don't lose on turn one or two.
I see.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's a good card.
No, it's not good. Very good. I'm glad you said. Not very good.
It's a troll.
It's not even good, KYT. What are you talking about?
Since the guy who like never plays Legacy. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll take your word for it. And then I'll listen to all the trolls in the comments who say Force of Will's a good card, even though they never played Legacy. They probably never even cast a Force of Will, but they're going to tell me how I'm an idiot because I said Force of Will's not a good card.
Wait, by that logic, like, how could you say a deck's bad if you've never played it? Like Smitty's like, what about this Blood Artist deck? And you're like, man, I do. But you never even played it, man. Come on, you gotta give a chance.
Yeah, but whenever I say something, I say this deck seems bad.
I know all about it. Yeah. Yeah, you say that a lot. Seems, yeah.
Yeah, it seems. You can say Force of Will seems good.
No, it is good.
Because you like to mind rot yourself, that's fine.
Yeah, it is fine. Win the game.
You don't win the game with Force of Will. You just don't lose the game.
So you win.
No, you just don't lose. But there's a difference between winning and not losing.
I don't think there is. I think you're just drawing at straws here.
Because like when they resolve their spell or when they go to resolve it, you're going to need another Force of Will.
Scott didn't want to get into this. I think you should respect Scott's wishes.
I think Scott should not be such a sissy about discussing things like this in the cast. If I say something like, Force of Will's not good, and Jay Bush says, you're an idiot, and then Scott's like, whoa, guys, stop it right there.
If you guys had started this nonsense fucking an hour ago, then I'd be totally okay with it.
Yeah, what do you think the listeners are going to say when I say Force of Will's not good, Jay says, well, and then we're like, stop, nope, let's not discuss that. The listeners are going to be like, wait,
whatever, we don't care what Force of Will not
good? We promise to discuss next week how terrible Force of Will is, according to Jonathan Nadina.
Then we say, suck it, listeners. This is our show. And then we say, on episode 100, we'll discuss the merits of Force of Will. So make sure that you tune in for that.
Episode 100.
What were we talking about before Jonathan Medina ruined it?
Free spells win games.
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh yeah, because the Dimir mechanic's free.
Yeah.
So that's scary. That's some scary shit. Free Doomblade, free Think Twice. Pow, pow.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yep. I want to see good spells. Like, I think the mechanic has infinite potential. I just hope that they attach it to at least like one really sick spell. Like,
yeah.
Windfall's good. Windfall is an absurd card. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, there's a really great way for your opponent to go, sweet, tap out for fucking Sphinx's Revelation, draw a bunch of cards, and you're like, nice! Pay four, discard them all, and I'll draw two? Like, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but typically they do that at instant speed, and then they untap with counterspell.
Yeah, I understand that. But if you're playing blue-black, too, then...
I'm just saying best-case scenario, guy.
Okay. Yeah.
In your world, your opponent's tapping out for Sphinx's Revelation on his main phase, and then passing the turn.
You ever had to Wrath 9 power of your own flyers?
No,
sometimes,
you're
kidding. Sometimes you have to do that.
You know what? In response to that, no. See, I'm using the Alchemist's Refuge along with that. See, There you go. Best case scenario.
Yeah. John Medina, you idiot.
Obviously, anyways. They already splashed black for Drownyard. I mean, obviously.
This is what I'm saying. Everyone just plays five color control, and they just don't tell anyone about it.
Thanks,
yeah.
Reed.
Mono Black Control. Mono Black 5 Color Control is back.
Mono Black 5 Color
Control. Mono Black Token Control 5 Color.
That's like Thragtusk Omnidor. Like, that's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Thragfire Omnidor or something like that.
No,
yeah.
No basics in the deck. Pretty good. Good strategy.
All right. So can we go to shoutouts, or does KYT want to talk to us about how he thinks free spells are good too?
Cypher. KYT.
Go.
It's like Haunt.
Cypher.
What? It's like Haunt. That's what's true.
Is this even real?
It's not like Haunt because it doesn't do it when the creature dies.
And it doesn't stop.
You know what would be sweet if they do like a Rain of Tears that has Cypher?
Yeah, so
every time you bash someone, you blow their land up. Yeah, that would be like a Deus of Calamity, but instead in blue-black, which is sweet.
Unblockable land destruction in blue.
Hit you with my Invisible Stalker, I'll blow your land up.
Go. Oh, shit. Go, I guess. Yeah. So,
better keep hitting those land drops, bro. You're going to fall behind.
That's right. Foil Invisible Stalkers. You heard it here first.
Yeah. And Blood Artists. Don't forget Blood Artists.
All right, so let's go to shoutouts. Jay, go.
Shout out to Joshua Lemish for being a sweet dude. Shout out to Joel Nidri for what? I don't remember.
Starting up Anti-League.
Yeah, but it was for something else. Yeah. Shout out to Christine Sprinkle and Dr. Jeebus, who called her hun today on Twitter. So you're cracking down the walls, the Dr. Jeebus walls. Pretty sweet. Shout out to, holy fuck, shout out to Nina for getting in a fight with PV, and it was like the most civil fight I've ever seen in my life with Nina. Like, she didn't just like, oh, it was crazy. It was crazy! Shout out for keeping it together. Shout out for PV for just going at it with a fan. That's accessibility, my friends. That's what it's like. It's good news. Good to hear. Shout out to Blaine Lapierre, who every time Nina has a fight, he, when it's over, just tweets his own interpretation of the entire fight to as a mediator almost, just in case you weren't annoyed by like those 100 tweets. So this is just a service that you have to provide. So shout outs. Shout out to Mantel, who wrote a sweet, sweet story.
Should read it.
Literally the best story of all time. I'll let Scott read it because he actually did really well with it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's all my shout outs. Shout out to John Medina and Scotty McCallum and KYT.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My dude bros, my bros. That's it. Go ahead, KYT. You didn't say anything on this episode. It's trash.
What?
this is trash.
Every episode is golden. Shout out to you guys, because I think this is obviously the last show of 2012 for us. So definitely shout out to you guys. Kyle for making another great year of A-Team goodness. Shout out to Sal, who actually listens to every episode, apparently naked in his house. So,
wow.
Sorting his cards, apparently. So shout out to that guy.
Well, he's naked when he sorts his cards.
No wonder they're so inexpensive.
Yeah, I thought there was a little, you know, a little Sal juice on the last order that I got. Yeah.
Shouts to Nick, Nat, Matthew Beverly, Kevin Metal rather. Surfington, like everyone for making the site what it is. Chris Lansdell, Dal. We got someone that has like a very similar last name, Alex.
Oh my god, I thought it was a troll account when I first saw it. I was very confused.
Just shout out to everyone that helped set the site, you know, make it what it is, and hopefully in 2013 you'll continue and being awesome. So, and hope Jay writes another article just as good as the Anti-League 2000.
Well, yeah, I got to do my follow-up Anti-League. Maybe early 2013. Yeah.
All right, that's it. John, go ahead.
Okay, man, this is tough. This is tough. So Ben Clinton told me you forgot to shout out for a guy at GP Toronto. I don't know if he means himself, so I'm just going to shout him out. Shout out to Ben Clinton for sending me a tweet. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, shout out.
Shout out.
Ben Clinton is the man.
So, shout outs to Kyle for making this awesome. It's funny because, like, when we record, it's all, like, disjointed and quiet and crap. But then when we listen to it after Carrie Dan gets done with it, whew, it's always awesome. It's the best. So, shout out to that guy. Shout out to Nathan Holt, who makes Walk the Plains. I love that show.
Yeah.
So, shout out to him. Shout out to Heather Meek for kicking my ass constantly to do what's right for legit MTG. Man, she is like constantly on my ass about doing things that I should be doing. So thumbs up for that. Thank you for that. Shout out to Smitty for brewing. And shout out to my wife. Shout out to my wife for, you know, for being happy. And even though, you know, we, you know, even though we had a very chill Christmas, she was very content and happy with that. So shout out to her.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So I guess I have to read this now. Okay.
Yeah. It was that big.
So I like died. We literally, I'm just going to read this. You all should 100% know who this is. I don't even need to say it. He mentions himself later on. I think we already just mentioned it. But anyways. All right. So here's my story around getting someone to listen to the A-Team. I'd not been to F&M in a bit, so I was not surprised to see a few new faces. A pair of those faces was a young couple, young to me at least, which means 21 or so. I noticed that they seemed rather new and were getting asked for deck and were getting deck advice from a couple of the guys. I played the male half that night, and after chatting, I suggested he listen to the A-Team and check out the articles at manadeprived.com and legitmtg.com. A week later, I was going to F&M and was looking forward to it because I had the day off. I have friends who live next to the local game store, and as it was my day off, I went a bit early and we enjoyed a couple adult beverages before heading to F&M. Now, F&M at my local game store is rather brutal. We have 40-minute rounds and we play until there is one undefeated player. No cutting to top 8 or 4, and no prizes for anyone but the last man standing. We still do Swiss rounds because everyone wants to keep playing, but it just doesn't mean anything. There are promos given out to 2nd and 3rd, but meh. This being said, I was feeling good because not only did I come in with a slight buzz, but I was on a winning streak. I heard my name called for the quarterfinals, and a name I didn't recognize. It turned out to be the female half of the equation from earlier. Her boyfriend heard my name being called, and his head whipped around. He pulled his girlfriend to the side and was saying something to her, and they both occasionally looked over at me in a furtive way, but would look away and avoid eye contact. Now, I know that I have a certain look to me. My wife claims I have a menacing aura, so I just smiled and tried to be as unintimidating as possible. Eventually, the guy walks to the store owner and they start chatting. I once again see both of them look over at me, and now I'm wondering what the hell's going on. The store owner comes over and informs me that the girl is uncomfortable playing me because she heard I was... wait for it.
The best.
A rapist. Here I was, scruffy, it was my day off, of course I didn't shave, and smelling slightly of booze, and they had heard on the A-Team that Mantle is a rapist. I could only hang my head as I tried to explain to the store owner what was going on. I agreed to give the win to the newcomers for the trouble, because I had, after all, just been looking completely creepy as I sat there smiling, trying not to look mean. There you go. That's my story of getting someone to listen to the A-Team. Oh, and I'm completely full of shit. This never happened, but it's a better story than just, I tell people to listen to the A-Team and then they laugh at me because you make fun of me. More Mantle love.
Wait, this didn't happen?
No.
Oh, I was going to totally give him the foiled death right, Shaman.
I know, 100%,
no, I'm not.
Right?
What a liar.
What a jerk off.
Oh, I felt so bad for Mantle right now. And it turned out to be a sham.
I was actually fooled. That's the reason why he hated Jay and I for perpetuating the story.
It totally makes sense. Like if that had actually been legit, like
MTG.com.
So, I don't know. I mean, do we wanna pick someone else to give this to, or are we gonna award it next week? Actually, take some time to read this.
It was the heartfelt one that was right above Mantell's.
So two-sided triangle had a pretty good one too.
Did you get one, John?
No. What does it say?
Oh, Scott, you want to read it? If it touches John's heart, he should give it.
All right, I'm pretty cold bastard, so let's see if this touches my heart.
Didn't even get his wife a fucking Christmas present.
Seriously. Well, Kyle, I'll tell you what. You should definitely...
Stop it, you guys. Stop.
If I'm going to read this, then Kyle is going to have to put in some nice, like, sweet, sappy...
La la,
you know, the terrible music in the background.
Yeah,
okay. So, my story of how I got a person to listen to the A-Team is kind of sad. To preface and give some insight about the story, it's about how I got my girlfriend into listening to the cast. She hates me playing Magic and thinks I need to go to group therapy to cut back on my playing habits.
Sorry, ex-girlfriend?
No, apparently not. Back in July of 2011, I was staying at my girlfriend's place 4th of July weekend, and I was woken in the middle of the night by my mother. She said she couldn't get up, and she was mumbling on the phone. I rushed out of the apartment and went back to my place while calling 911. By the time I got there, the ambulance was arriving and they transported my mom to the hospital. I spent all day Saturday and Sunday in the hospital and at my grandma's house. July 4th, I got a call from the nurse on staff saying I need to head to the hospital. By the time I got in the ICU, I turned into the room to see them performing CPR on my flatlined mother.
Holy shit.
They told me to wait in the waiting room, but I knew what was coming. I called all my relatives and close friends to what happened. The drive from my town to my grandma's house was in silence until my girlfriend said I should listen to something. I plugged in my iPhone and hit play. This podcast is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. She sort of looked at me, I looked at her, and a smile was brought across her face. It was number 42, Jay approved M12 spoilers. Flash forward to May 21st, 2012. I'm yet again traveling to my grandmother's area, not for fun. But now my grandmother's passed away. This was to be expected, as she was fighting cancer for 8 months, when they only gave her 1 to 2 months to live when diagnosed. I posted on my Facebook about the passing of my gram, expecting the normal friends family to respond, and one response I never would have guessed in a million years I would have gotten. John Medina commented and gave his regards, and I told him hopefully that day's cast would help calm my pain. Since then, my girlfriend has never argued with me about listening to the cast, and always asks when those Canadian Magic players are going to make another cast. A good moral I have from both these situations. No matter how bad the day may seem, as long as you have something in your life that makes you smile and brings you laughter, the day can't be all bad because it's only one out of 365. So thanks, guys. And girlfriend plug.
Come on!
Oh,
come on!
Oh, man, I'm choked up. I remember this.
I do, too.
I remember commenting on this guy's wall. Oh, man. Yeah, he definitely gets the death right. Come on. I can't deny him.
But wait. That sounded like the best story about the A-Team, not the best story that he got. He didn't say his girlfriend listened to
the
cast.
Yeah, he made her listen in the car.
That's fair.
I don't care, man.
Okay.
I don't care. Okay. Overruled.
Just making sure, because, you know, if you're going to buy your fans, you mean...
I'm buying your fans, bro.
Well, basically, you've got a couple other options. You got Joshua Lemish.
No.
Or you've got... you've also got Kevy Metal.
Lemish. No.
You've also got Kevy Metal. And his contest submission is, Maddie and I started our own podcast just so we could talk about you guys on every damn episode and generate more listeners for your show.
Yeah, but I listen to his show, and he doesn't really talk about us that much.
All right, busted.
Yeah, come on, dude, talk about us more. By the way, speaking of giving away free things, I forgot to talk about this on the cast, so I just need to get this out, you know what
All
I
right.
mean?
That's fine.
I'm sorry. Jeez, Scotty, he's not happy with me tonight. I think he's pissed that I didn't give my wife a Christmas present.
No, I'm pissed because you sold him my cards.
Oh, gosh, I thought you could get them back, bro.
I know, but that means I can't play tomorrow.
Oh, man. All right. So anyways, that's offline stuff. We can talk about that offline. So here's what's going down. All right. So FNM Heroes over. We got there. My deck is worth $500 and something dollars. I don't even remember. Long story short, I did the math in the latest article. You can check it out. The collection is worth about $775. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to round that up to $800, and I'm going to give out $100 gift certificates to new players, 8 of them. So new players all over the place. Okay, and what we need to do, I need your help to do this. Basically, I need judges to submit nominations to get this $100 gift certificate. So what I want people, what I want judges to do is if there's a new player in your shop who's just starting out, kind of like FNM Hero was with like an event deck or something, and they need the goods, send me an email. We'll put that in the show notes. Send me an email with some information that we'll also put in the show notes. And what's it called? And then we'll pick at Legit MTG, out of all the submissions, we'll pick 8 people to get $100 gift certificate for legitmtg.com. And then the judge who submits these, the judges will get $25. So in total, it's $1,000. It's 8 $100 gift certificates and 8 $25 gift certificates for the judges. So I've given away $1,000 in magical cards.
Nice.
Shit.
Yeah. And so I want judges to be involved with this because I think, like, you know, we trust judges to, like, for our
judges,
rulings.
Sorry, judge, magic judges?
Yeah, magic judges.
No.
Magic judges? Yeah, you don't trust magic judges?
Oh, what a waste. I do not condone this fucking.
What do you think they're going to, you think they're going to scam me, bro?
No, I don't think that at all.
Oh, man. So if you're a judge, hook it up, man. Send me a nomination.
Terrible.
Who do you think I should have pick them, Jay?
Oh, my God.
I can't all the local shops to pick judges. These kids. And then if I say, hey, submit your friends, then, you know, who knows if these two potheads are not going to be like, dude, let's try to win this $100 from Medina. And then maybe they come up with some crazy story that doesn't even exist, man.
Yeah.
At least judge, you know, we have someone reputable sending in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Are you listening, Chris Lansdale? Send me a submission, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe Jay's against this. I just don't understand his problem with judges. Just let it out, Jay. Just let it out.
I'm judges.
He doesn't want to piss off the judge community. Because he knows what's going to happen.
Because they're fickle. I guarantee you, if I start spouting off about judges, at the next tournament I'm at, I'll be like, yo, extra cards, bro. And then the judge will be like, oh, I'll just give him a warning because he probably didn't intend to draw 15 cards. You know? Or somebody will call a judge on me, like, whoa, 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 he accidentally drew 8 cards instead of 7. And like, no, I didn't. And like, yeah, you probably did. And you probably intended to DQ ban 18 months. and then nobody would fault them because I'm the big bad Jay Boosh.
So anyways.
But that's a hypothetical. Don't forget.
Best case scenario.
Yeah, don't forget about that. Yeah. Best case scenario.
So. Anyways, so that's actually really great news, John. Congratulations. I know you've been working really hard and trying to find a way to put that to bed, and I think that it's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm happy to give out some moolah and get some new players started, you know what I mean?
Sick. All right. Well, as far as my shout-outs go, I guess, yeah, shout-out to Nina for her, like, latest entries into the authoring realm. I guess it would be pretty sweet to see her doing something on a semi-regular basis somewhere, so that'd be cool. Shout out to all of my boys. You guys are amazing, all 3 of you. I don't think I would have enjoyed Magic even a third as much as I did this year without all 3 of you. So thank you very, very much. I'm looking forward to another fantastic year of this wonderful hobby and this fantastic experience that this brings to my life, and it's all because of you guys. So thank you very much. I'm all waxing poetic on you. But I'm looking forward to some crazy parties this year. Like KYT, I'm so excited to be able to, you know, get some stuff going. Grand Prix Calgary is happening.
Yeah.
So I will be there, and you will stay tuned here for some details because we're running something fucking large up in that house. Sick.
We're restarting the professional karaoke club.
That's right.
Yeah.
A professional karaoke club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sweet. Anyways, shout out to my lovely wife and my amazing children who have provided me such an unbelievable holiday here that I couldn't possibly imagine. I'm just completely blown away this year at how unbelievable Christmas has actually been. So I'm very, very happy. And shout out to, you know, Face-to-Face Games and Legit MTG. Both of you guys have really made my magic. You've both fueled my magic addictions in certain ways, and I want to thank you both, all of you. So Sal, if you're listening, love you, big guy. Thanks so much. We're gonna keep doing what we do, and hopefully we can do more for you. Johnny, you know that we're all tied up in this bitch. So I'm just gonna leave it at that. and all of you wonderful listeners. So thank you very much for listening and keeping us honest and keeping us in business. Because we like business. Business is good.
You know, listeners, you know we're all tied up in this bitch, so.
Anyways. All right, guys. With that, I guess we'll call it a night, and we'll see y'all in the new year. Have a happy new year, and we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. Blood rage.
What the fuck? Was that QIT?
Hey everyone, welcome to episode, I'm kidding, okay.
What the fuck, man?
You're kidding about the welcome to episode?
Okay. Hey everyone, welcome to episode one. Okay.
Hey everyone.
Hey everyone.
I'm just kidding, hey everyone.
Okay. I'm KYT.
Hey everyone, this is Jay Boosh, I'm just kidding.
Hey everyone, JK. This was 18.
Hey everyone, and welcome to 18 episode 100. Psych!